Hello, I'm Joseph Kassa, and welcome to this podcast where the AI team does a deep dive into some application of systems thinking.
So if you've ever worked in, say, aerospace, defense contracting, or really any advanced tech program, you've definitely heard the term TRL.
Oh, for sure. The technology readiness level. It's basically the official scorecard that groups like NASA or the DoD use to figure out how mature a new piece of tech actually is.
Exactly. And it's foundational, but, you know, it came from a really specific need.
Right. And you have to remember why it was even created. I mean, back before it was formalized around 1998, you had this, well, this undesirable situation where you just couldn't compare apples to oranges.
Like, how ready is a new laser system versus a new engine?
Precisely. TRL was built to fix that one problem. It was made to answer a very simple question. Is this tech ready now so we can deploy it soon? The whole focus was just on getting to the finish line.
And that's what we're going to dig into today. We're looking at sources that argue TRL, for all its use, has some huge flaws because it only looks at the start of a technology's life.
And we're going to introduce a much bigger, more holistic idea, a conceptual tool called the Technology Availability Window of Opportunity, or TAWO.
It's a totally different way of thinking about technology management. So let's start with what TRL gets right. It's a simple 9-step ladder, easy to grasp.
Yeah, TRL 1 is, you know, just observing the basic science in a lab.
And PRL 9 is the holy grail. The system is flight proven. It works.
And if you break that down, you can really see where the focus is. Levels 1 to 4 are pure research. That's all your lab coat proof of concept stuff.
Then 5 and 6 is where you start real development, maybe moving it into a more realistic environment.
And 9 is full production, ready to go.
Okay, and this is where it hits the bottom line, right? The risk assessment. The GAO, the Government Accountability Office, has a very clear line in the sand.
They do. TRLs 1 through 7 are all categorized as high risk for product launch.
So you could be at TRL 7, millions of dollars in, and you're still in the official danger zone. You don't hit low risk until TRL 8.
And that risk is exactly where we see the first big crack in the TRL model. Because decades of data show that project managers consistently, I mean almost universally, underestimate the effort to get past TRL 6.
They see TRL 7 and think they're on the home stretch.
Exactly. But that's the valley of death where schedules and budgets go to die.
But that seems weird, doesn't it? If it's a readiness scale, why is it so bad at predicting? Well, readiness.
Because TRL is a static measure. It's a snapshot. It's just a photo.
It tells you where you are today.
Right. It tells you that today you are at TRL 7. But it gives you zero guidance on the uncertainty or the risk involved in actually moving to TRL 8. I mean, a single data point should never be used to predict the future. It just doesn't capture the volatility.
So the risk isn't just that the tech is immature. It's that the effort needed to mature, it's completely unpredictable.
Precisely. And that leads to the third big problem. TRL is terrible at representing integration difficulty.
What do you mean by that?
A piece of tech might work perfectly on a test bench. High TRL looks great. But then you try to plug it into a massive existing system.
And it all falls apart.
You uncover huge technical problems that the TRL score just never saw coming. It measures the component, not the system it has to live inside.
So all the research, all the focus, just keeps circling back to those early stages, mm-hmm. getting from 1 to 9. And it completely ignores what happens after the thing is deployed.
And that's the problem boundary that has to be shattered. I mean, if the old way just leads to delays and risk, you need a whole new way to even define the problem.
And that new way is called holistic thinking. This is an approach that goes way beyond traditional systems thinking, which, you know, it just looks at the parts and how they connect.
Holistic thinking is much broader. It's a process that forces you to look at a problem from 9 different perspectives at the same time. The holistic thinking perspectives, or HTPs.
Okay, so the sources pull out 2 of these perspectives that really crack this readiness problem wide open. The first is the generic perspective.
The generic perspective is huge. It basically forces you to admit your project is not a special snowflake.
So you have to compare it to other similar systems.
Yes. You're forced to look at established models, like capability maturity models, or the classic S-curve of how all technologies grow and eventually die. It stops you from thinking your problems are unique.
You're using history to predict your own future, something TRL can't do on its own.
Not at all. And then you have the second, and maybe the most important perspective, the temporal one.
The time-based one.
Right. It's a simple idea. You have to consider the past, the present, and critically, the future of your system. And this immediately shows the biggest flaw in how we plan things.
which is?
That we plan for technology maturity, getting it ready, and technology obsolescence when it becomes useless completely separately.
Which makes no sense if you're planning, say, a 30-year mission for a satellite.
Absolutely not. And when you put those two perspectives together, the generic and the temporal, the whole question changes.
So the old narrow question was just, what is the maturity of the technology?
This gives you a static TRL number, a 6 or a 7.
But the new holistic question is completely different.
When will this technology be available for use? And for how long will it stay available? That's a massive shift in scope.
And that new question forces you to track things TRL just ignored. Like first, the speed, the rate of change of your TRL during development.
And second, all those long-term issues of obsolescence, things like DMSMS, diminishing manufacturing sources, and material shortages, basically your supply chain drying up.
Okay, so we need to turn TRL from a static photo into a dynamic movie. How do we actually do that?
This is where we get the first big concept, the dynamic TRL, or DTRL. And it comes right from combining those temporal and generic views.
The sources say it's conceptually like earned value analysis, right? Where you plot your planned progress against your actual progress over time.
It's a similar idea. You're tracking your speed, not just your location.
Yeah.
So let's use an example. Imagine your plan is to advance one TRL every year starting in 1993. The goal is TRL 9 by 1999.
That's the plan. But then reality hits.
And your actual progress lags. Maybe you don't even hit TRL 2 until 1995. You're already 2 years behind.
The DTRL graph would show that gap getting wider and wider.
Correct. But here's where it gets really powerful. It doesn't just show the lag, it shows volatility. What if, after lagging for years, your tech suddenly jumps from TRL 3 to TRL 6 in a single year?
A static TRL report would just say 6. Great news, we're making progress.
But the DTRL view forces you to slam on the brakes. It makes you ask, can we really trust this sudden rapid jump? Is that sustainable? Or did we just cut corners and create a huge amount of hidden risk?
So DTRL is an investigative tool. It's not just a number, it's a prompt for a manager to ask why the rate is changing so fast.
You got it. But DTRL still only covers the front end, up to deployment. And that brings us to the full solution.
Yeah.
The technology availability window of opportunity, or TAW.
This is where the whole life cycle comes into play.
Right. TTRL extends that dynamic view past TRL 9 to cover everything, from the first idea all the way to when the tech is so old it has to be retired.
The sources use that whale diagram, showing the whole life cycle curve.
Yeah, and TRLs only cover the, let's call it the childhood and production phases. Obsolescence, all the real long-term problems, that starts in adulthood and senility. TRL 9 is the start of the operational problem, not the end of the development one.
So how does TAW map out that long tail end of a technology's life?
Well, levels 1 to 8 are basically your DTRL, tracking that rate of change. Level 9 is defined as operational. This means it's ready and approved for use in new products.
Okay, but what comes after that?
This is the key. You get three new end-of-life levels. Level 10 is approaching obsolescence.
Meaning?
Meaning the tech is still being used in things out in the field, but, and this is critical, it is not allowed to be designed into any new products.
So that's the trigger. At level 10, you are forced to start planning and budgeting for its replacement, even if it still works perfectly fine.
You have to. If you don't, you get hit with a massive unexpected bill when a supplier just stops making a critical part.
Okay, and after 10?
Level 11 is obsolete. No new parts are being made. You're relying on whatever spares you have in warehouses. You're just buying time.
And then level 12, the end of the line.
Level 12 is antique. You have few or no spares left. The tech is done. And now you have a choice. Either scrap everything that uses it or run it until it breaks for good.
So if we pull the camera back, the big takeaway here is that this whole approach redraws the problem completely.
It really does. It shifts the entire focus from just assessing readiness at one point in time to managing availability for the entire duration of a mission.
And the level of readiness you need changes depending on what you're doing, right?
Absolutely. I mean, think about a single-use mission, like a NASA planetary probe, or even the bouncing bombs from World War II.
Things that only had to work once.
Exactly. For those, you might be fine deploying at TRL 6 or 7. You don't need a massive supply chain or a 30-year maintenance plan. You just need a few of them to work.
But for something like a commercial airliner or a fleet of fighter jets,
then TRL 9 is the absolute minimum you need for that initial rollout. And you better be thinking about the full TOO scale, managing for levels 10, 11, and 12, or you're going to face a crisis 20 years down the road.
And this isn't just a theoretical exercise. The sources point out that applying these holistic thinking perspectives, even looking back at history, can identify preventable failures.
Right. They mention the RAF's air defense system in the Battle of Britain. Looking at it holistically shows where they failed to grasp the full life cycle implications of their technology choices.
So, to sum it up, TRL is a static photo that ignored the future.
And TRO, born from this bigger mindset, is a dynamic, full life cycle prediction tool. It's the difference between asking, is the oven hot now? And will this oven stay hot for the next 8 hours?
So where do we go from here? We have this powerful concept, TIO or DWO, but it's still a concept. The really hard work of building a practical tool that a project manager can actually use is still ahead of us.
And that leads right to the future research this all points toward. We know what questions to ask now, but our ability to answer them to predict the future is still full of uncertainty.
And that leaves you with our final provocative thought for this deep dive. We know we need better predictive tools for this entire technology lifecycle. The central challenge now is, how can we reduce the uncertainty in the prediction estimates for technology maturity and obsolescence so project managers aren't constantly forced to make huge decisions based on what are ultimately just hopeful guesses?
I hope you enjoyed today's deep dive. Why not take a moment and join the discussion in the LinkedIn group, Tackling Complex Problems? Take care.